coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations. All this month, we are revisiting messages from former speakers. Today, Dr. Gregory Seltz tells how God's Word provides both grace and guidance for impatient travelers on life's journey.
Tires go flat, cars break down, our lives run out of strength, and our spirits become deflated, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. The good news of Jesus never fails, and the love of God encourages you and keeps you on the journey. God's love travels, and with His love on your journey, you can travel well as you share it with others.
Dr. Seltz's message is titled, Live Life Traveling Well. Thanks for making this program part of your day, and we also thank you for your generous gifts and your prayers in support of this program. Together, we are helping to bring Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. I'm Mark Eicher here in the studio with our speaker, Dr. Michael Ziegler.
It's good to be here, Mark.
For some years now, we've had this tradition of using the month of August to revisit some previous messages from past speakers, in a sense to honor the past but carry it into the future. And today we begin with a message from our most recent speaker, Dr. Gregory Seltz.
You had mentioned that this was his idea to use August right. in this way. So I gave him a call and got some insight from him. But first of all, he wanted to give his greetings. First, greetings to all the listeners. He says, I love you all, and I very much enjoyed being the speaker of the Lutheran Hour. And also, he said, give my regards to Mark Eicher. So he very much enjoyed working with you as well.
Oh, thank you. He's currently serving as the executive director of the Lutheran Center for Religious Liberty in Washington, D.C. And there he's working to help educate people and engage people in many of the issues regarding religious liberty taking place in our world today.
He's a great churchman and a blessing to our church.
Well, what did he have to say about the role of the Lutheran Hour and what he saw the program doing?
He wanted to celebrate the history and the heritage of the Lutheran Hour, as you mentioned, by carrying it forward into the future, by replaying some of these classic messages by Walter A. Meyer and Dr. Oswald Hoffman, who held this position together 50 years and really made the Lutheran mm-hmm. Hour what it was and what it is. And that's a message that's not just for Lutherans who can't make it to church, but a message for everyone, a message in the marketplace that spreads the good news of Jesus all over. Another way to illustrate the Lutheran Hour's impact is the way that it inspired Billy Graham. Mm. He was inspired when he heard that Dr. Walter A. Meyer had passed away. He thought to himself, who's going to carry on? And that was part of the impetus to drive him to do what he did,
yeah.
to continue sharing the gospel in that way. This program has had a tremendous impact all over the world, and we're carrying that on. And mentioning Billy Graham, I actually got a magazine that has his picture on the front cover, and it says Billy Graham's challenge to the next generation. And there's this great quote in here from Billy Graham. He says that each new generation is another new world to evangelize. Mm. And again, I think that's the point of what we're trying to do here, is take the past and the heritage of the Lutheran Hour and carry it forward into the future, into a future where there's a lot of younger people who not only don't know the Lutheran Hour, but don't know about Jesus.
Yeah.
I was talking on the phone with a young man named Jordan. He's a newspaper reporter, and he was interviewing me for an event that I was going to be participating in his town in Seymour, Indiana. And it sounded like he didn't know the Lutheran Hour, and I wasn't surprised at that because he's probably in his 30s. In the middle of the conversation, he said, no, I listen to the Lutheran Hour. And I said, really? Tell me about how you came to be acquainted with the Lutheran Hour, because a lot of younger people don't know of it. And he said, well, it was probably about 5 years ago when Dr. Seltz, the Lutheran Hour speaker, came and he spoke at this
yeah.
same event 5 years earlier. And it showed me how we're doing what we say we want to do. We are carrying forward the heritage of this program into the future to people like Jordan. He says he listens on a podcast as he goes and runs, and this is impacting a new generation, and we are doing what we can to answer this challenge to evangelize a new generation.
And with that in mind, let's listen to this message from Dr. Greg Seltz, first heard May 2014, Live Life, Traveling Well.
Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time in this world as foreigners here in reverent fear. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, and He is the wisdom and strength to finish well the journey of your life by faith in Him. Amen. What's the first question you hear from kids when you take a road trip in the car? Now, I know you know this one. Yes, that question that's asked over and over again. Are we there yet? Our family vacation when I was young was to visit our family in Ironwood, Michigan, going up north, as they say. It was great to see our family, but the family fun was 650 miles away, one way. Trips, long ones. They often begin with excitement. There comes a point when we just want to get there. We want to know when the journey ends. Now, you may not be taking a road trip vacation at the moment, but you may very well still be asking the question, are we there yet? Because you're asking it in the context of this journey called life. You wonder when you will arrive at certain destinations. Will you meet the right person to become your husband or wife? Are we there yet? Will your dreams be realized for starting a family? Are we there yet? Will you reach the career goal you're shooting for? Will God's plan for your life be clear so you can understand what He wants you to do? What will your purpose be as your life changes, as you experience new challenges along the way? Are we there yet? How will you handle aging, health issues, and ultimately the end of your life? When will you feel at peace? Will life be okay? Are we there yet? Those are really important, are we there yet, questions for your life. And all of us have to answer them eventually. And the words of the Bible help us face those questions in confidence that can only come by faith in Jesus Christ. So this lesson from the Apostle Peter speaks to anyone asking those, are we there yet, life questions. But did you notice what he says first? Peter says, and if you call on Him, God, as Father, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. This journey, our life, he calls an exile. Peter was saying to them, to us, no matter how things are at the moment, they weren't home yet. They were merely traveling here on a road trip to their most important destination, to be home with God in heaven. And about that important trip, he wants us to travel well. But it's not always easy to do that. In fact, as sinful people, we don't always travel well. We often travel poorly. When life isn't going the way you want it to or the way you hoped it would, it's very easy to do that. Face a few major obstacles and you may sink into despair and lose hope for the trip. Experience a few detours and you may develop a little road rage, becoming angry or acting out in rebellion and sinful behavior. Or get stuck in the traffic and you can easily find yourself ready to turn around and forget the whole thing. If we travel poorly, we can not only lose our cool, lose our focus, or lose our purpose, we may miss the whole point of the whole thing, even getting sidetracked from the main destination. Traveling poorly can do that. Thinking back, I can remember a few times when my brothers and I kind of ruined the trip, which took away the joy of the destination too. So the Apostle Peter offers some help for you and me. He knows our propensity to travel poorly, so he helps us travel well to make the very most of this journey that we have in life towards our home with Christ in heaven. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1. If you call on Him as Father, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of the Lamb without blemish or spot. First, in order to travel well then, Peter calls you to travel with fear. Fear? Fear? Now, that doesn't sound very good. What does that mean? Well, let me explain. Do you remember the excitement of getting your license so that you could drive? Do you remember the excitement of getting behind the wheel and going wherever you wanted to go? Ah, the joy of freedom to travel, right? But do you also remember taking driver's ed classes before getting your license? I do. I had to sit through some Saturday classes and test drives with other students under the watchful eye of our instructor. One of the first things that we were told before getting behind the wheel, before experiencing the joy of being able to go anywhere at any time, the first thing we were taught, it was to drive defensively. That's right, defensive driving. It's important. It's driving, anticipating what other drivers might do wrongly, not just doing what's right. When you're on the road, it's watching for other cars, watching for people. Suspect that anything and everything may go wrong. Why? So you'll be ready. You'll be safe. It's driving with a healthy fear. And that's a good thing, especially when you're traveling down the road at 60 miles per hour in a 2,000-pound car that has a flammable liquid in the tank. There's joy in driving, yes, but you might want to be careful not to hit another one of those potentially combustible battering rams. That joy can be snatched quickly. Lives depend on everyone driving smartly, defensively, with a healthy sense of fear. It's fun to drive, no doubt, but that joy should be focused, undistracted, alert. That's how God calls you to live your life in this sinful world. Peter says that's how you travel the journey of life well. There are practices in life that will cause you to crash. There are habits that will hurt yourself and others. There are attitudes that will drain your soul of hope. Traveling with fear means that you live on the alert for hazards, hurt, and distractions. You listen to God's guidance, and you resist the temptations that would cause you to fall asleep at the wheel of your life. But Christians, we don't just travel with a healthy fear of the potential potholes that might knock us off course. We travel ultimately with the excitement of the destination, with the wisdom of how to manage the trip, with the knowledge that the trip and the destination are going to be special because God is with us all the way. Peter says, believers travel with hope. In 1 Peter 1, he says, Jesus was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Jesus was manifest. He was made visible, shown as the Savior to our world. He made the ultimate journey to make a way, a highway, if you will, back to the Father. He not only made it possible, he made it clear. The death and resurrection of Jesus was God making a way home for all of us who had lost our way. You know, one of the great feats of engineering today is tunnels. If you've ever driven in New York City, you know that it's an island, so you either need to drive through a tunnel or cross a bridge to get into Manhattan. Before there were bridges or tunnels, drivers were faced with the absolute barrier of the Hudson River to their journey into the city. But someone made a way where there was no way. They dug under the water, they made a tunnel, and voila, cars driving on dry land under the water into New York City. Well, today maybe you're facing an absolutely impossible obstacle too. Maybe it's the impassable river of grief or stress. Maybe it's a mountain of guilt or shame or loss. There are times in this world where we are all overwhelmed by our inability to finish the journey we're on. And that's why the Bible's message is so unique in all the world. God doesn't tell you to drive a little harder or smarter and take on the water, the mountain that won't let you pass. God, the very engineer of our salvation, makes a way for you and me on his terms by his efforts for us as a gift. The cross and the resurrection of Jesus are more than a tunnel underwater or a tunnel through a mountain. It's a highway of grace back to God, paved by his death, offered toll-free by his resurrection. When God makes a way possible where there is no way, you can trust him that you will finish the journey well. And not only does he make a way possible, he offers a destination that's beyond our imagination. Think about what keeps you going on a long journey. It's the promise of a wonderful destination. You know, I know of a family who loves going to Disney World. The first time they went, they had a brochure and a guidebook. One summer, they piled into the car with their kids and they set out for Florida. It was a long drive, but whenever fatigue started to set in, they looked at the pictures and remembered the amazing place they were heading. Whenever they got grumpy, they would talk about the places they wanted to explore. Whenever they felt hungry or cramped or dissatisfied, they would remember the reason for the journey. Mickey, Minnie, the Magic Kingdom. They traveled with a destination of hope. Well, what keeps you going on this journey of life? It's not that sun-drenched getaway or the promises of the Magic Kingdom. No, it's the ultimate destination of hope. It's the hope of heaven delivered through the gifts of God's grace. On your journey, when you feel isolated, even alone, God strengthens you with His Spirit-filled word and sacraments and lets you know that you are never alone, and He will see the journey through with you. On your journey, when you feel hopeless, disheartened, God's word reminds you that you have a worthy purpose for this trip, to be His ambassadors of His destination for all. And when you grow weary of the challenges of this journey in exile, God lets you know what awaits you: abundant, joyful life with Christ, home with Him forever. Those who trust in Jesus, they travel on this journey with fear, not dread, with hope, not despair. Yes, but above all, the believer travels with the power of love and action for the journey itself. Peter's words in the scripture say it this way: having purified your souls by obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. It's amazing, the power of love, isn't it? It's amazing what love can do when it travels with you, right? Well, let me explain. My dad was a guy who could get things done. When he was young, in his teens, he worked hard, took care of his brothers while his father was away fighting during the war. He did what he had to do for the ones he loved. And that was an attitude of love that was evident in our family, too. In fact, he and Mom took care of us with that kind of dedication, always providing whatever it was we needed so that we could accomplish whatever was in front of us, too. That's what someone else's love can do for you. Well, I can remember the feeling I had one day when I realized that that love travels. That love was something I could count on for my journey as their son. I was away at the University of Michigan for my freshman year, my first time away from home. In one of my science classes at Michigan, my faith was being ridiculed, so I decided that I'd also take a class at nearby Concordia College, Ann Arbor. They had a world-renowned science professor there who was a creation scientist, so I thought I'd hear both sides, get the facts, as it were. But to do so, I had to make the trip from my dorm at South Quad to Concordia every week. But then one late afternoon, on one of the coldest, snowiest days of the year, my car suddenly died out in the middle of nowhere on the way to class. I checked the basic things that could have gone wrong, but this was something more. The engine was dead. Later, I found out that my car had thrown its timing chain. Bad news. So here I was, stranded, no money to fix the car, no AAA to get it towed, no cell phones then either. But one thing I did know: if I could get to a payphone and get a hold of my dad, he would know what to do. So I did. I ran to a phone a few miles away, called my father, and he told me to stay put. He'd be there after work to get me, and we'd figure something out together. When he got there, sure enough, he knew what to do, who to call, and how we could take care of this thing and get me back on the road. But even before he got there, I was sure everything would be all right as soon as I knew that he was coming. That's the joy of knowing that love comes to you and then even travels with you. The love of a mom, dad, or committed friend, one who's willing to be there on that journey with you, even when you made a mess of things, it's amazing, isn't it? And for those who love us, they often do it with no benefit to themselves at the moment. They do it because they love us. So let me challenge you, my friend. This week, when you get a glimpse of any undeserved kindness in your life, or when you think back on a time when you received a blessing from someone, even though you didn't deserve it at all, let that remind you of the truth of our lesson today, that God loves you even more than you'll ever know. His love traveled to the cross and back so that you might have life, a real journey to eternal life over the obstacles of sin and death. And His love traveled to you and even now travels with you as Jesus Himself promises to be with you each and every step of the way. For that's what God did when He sent His Son to you just in time, sidelined in our own failing strength, immobilized in our inability and sin. God sent His Son to save us. Tires go flat, cars break down, our lives run out of strength, and our spirits become deflated, but the word of the Lord remains forever. The good news of Jesus never fails, and the love of God encourages you and keeps you on the journey. But traveling well is not merely knowing that love is our travel companion, but sharing it too. God's love travels, and with His love on your journey, you can travel well as you share it with others. Traveling well means that you can show what you've received. In fact, the journey of life is not some boring journey sitting still in a car until you get there, constantly asking, "Are we there yet?" No, life is a wonderful journey with eyes wide open to all the opportunities around us to be God's people for others, to stop and help those who are stranded, to give God's directions to those who don't know where they are or where they're going, to enjoy the ride with our loved ones and friends as a glimpse of the joy that will be in heaven for all those who trust in Christ. What a joy it is to be on the journey of life in Christ, pedal to the metal. Peter's challenging us all today on the journey of our lives. Travel well as one prepared, focused, alert in the grace of God and Jesus, directed by the wisdom of God and His Word, and with His presence and promises, His guidance and strength, ready to hit the road of life with hope and love. Because in Christ, by faith in Him, you can travel well until you're at home with the One who has made a way for you where there was no way. So rev the engine of your life, chart the course, give it gas, and by faith in Jesus Christ with His hope and love in action, travel well. Amen.
You're listening to the Lutheran Hour, and that was a classic message from Dr. Gregory Seltz titled Live Life Traveling Well. I'm Mark Eicher here once again with Lutheran Hour speaker, Dr. Michael Ziegler. What were your impressions of that sermon that you heard just now?
Mark, the first thing that stood out to me was the way Dr. Seltz described traveling with fear. And it sounds like it's not a good thing to be traveling with fear as we are on our exile, as he mentioned. However, I really appreciated the way he framed it as defensive driving. And when you think about it that way, there is a healthy fear to have. And we think we're driving around these 2,000-pound battering rams filled with flammable liquid.
Right. Yeah, that's a vivid image.
Right. And I've been thinking a lot about this, preparing for our next sermon series. Mm-hmm. After August, we're going to be doing a series on the book of Genesis and going through those narratives of Genesis. And you know the stories of the fall into sin and Cain and Abel and the flood. And you see the terrifying power that humanity has, that we have to destroy ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so there is something mm-hmm. about traveling well defensively with some fear and trembling.
And also the terrifying power of God's wrath over sin.
Right. Absolutely. You see that in the flood. You see that in scattering the people after the Tower of Babel, that God is serious about this stuff and we need to take it seriously. Another perspective on that is I was listening to a pastor talk about preventative wellness, that not waiting till you're burnt out, not waiting till you completely crash and burn, not waiting till you fall into some terrible, shameful sin, but to, before that, reflect on where I am with my faith and my walk with God and my relationships with others. That's, I think, is another part of that traveling well, traveling with defensively, that preventative wellness.
And then also traveling in the protection of God's love and God's mercy. We also heard that theme brought up in the sermon.
Right. That was the other part of it. So not just traveling with fear, but traveling knowing that God's love will make a way when there is mm-hmm. no way.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that analogy of the the tunnel under the Hudson River. You know, there's no way, but God's love will make a way, kind of like that. And I mentioned earlier that I had talked to Greg that we were doing these sermons in August, and I shared with him how much I enjoyed that story that is about his dad coming to him, coming to his rescue when he didn't have a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, I got a great update on that story. So apparently recently his daughter was in a car accident. She was sideswiped and it was it really frightened her and she didn't know what to do. So she called her dad.
Yeah.
And he said that she was very apologetic that she was bothering him because he's, as you mentioned, he's a busy guy. He's traveling all over the world and she didn't want to bother him or be a trouble to him. And he said, dads live for this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be right there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that love that makes a way is going to set everything aside. And that's the kind of love that God has for us.
And the third point of that sermon was the idea of traveling with hope.
Right. So I mentioned the series on the book of Genesis that we're preparing for in September. And that hope for the destination, that joy, not just, are we there yet? But are we there yet? And I hear that in Genesis 1, how God delighted in his creation and made everything good and very good. And that hope of the new heavens and the new earth, God making all things new, that is a powerful hope that can keep you going through anything. And I think that's part of what traveling with hope is.
Next week, we continue this tradition of using the month of August to honor the past and carry it into the future as we feature a classic message from Dr. Oswald Hoffman. He's going to be talking about prayer, specifically how to pray. To connect with the Lutheran Hour, go to lutheranhour.org. There you'll find audio from previous weeks, information about the program and its speakers, links to free resources, our mobile app, and much more. That's LutheranHour.org. Now Dr. Seltz leads us in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.